Oh God, I mean, used to really love this distance, and I think it's been about 3 years since I won a 70.3, so a few injuries and crashes, and it's great to be back and racing someone like T.O. and getting him at the end. It's a huge confidence booster for me, and I needed the points to get to Vegas and got to race a few more races. So as I said, 3 years since my last win, so pretty proud of that one.
Coming up on the Endurance Hour podcast, episode 32, post-race interviews with Ironman 70.3 Lake Stevens winners Chris Lee and Miranda Carfrey, and the men's first runner-up, Timothy O'Donnell. We'll have race results from other Ironman 70.3 and Ironman races over the weekend, and a special guest co-host, Bo Parrish, from Nashville, Tennessee, with his post-race analysis and personal race report from Lake Stevens. The Endurance Hour podcast starts now. And welcome back to another edition of the Endurance Hour podcast. This is Dave Erickson coming to you once again from Lake Stevens, Washington, here just north of Seattle, Washington, and the 7th annual Ironman 70.3 Lake Stevens. As you heard in our previous episode, I'm here because I was racing this weekend and pulling double duty by providing some race coverage as well. Not an easy task, but no complaints from me. Coming up, you'll hear from Chris Lee and Miranda Carfrey, who both won the race, plus Timothy O'Donnell, who was the first runner-up in the men's category. And my Timex multi-sport teammate, Bo Parrish, will join us to tell us about his first experience racing here in the Pacific Northwest and our latest giveaway by way of a trivia question from our Q&A session in episode 31 with Rennie and T.O. But first, the Endurance Hour podcast brought to you by SwimBikeRunVideos.com, where right now you can see race footage from this weekend's action in Lake Stevens. The winners coming across the line on both the men's and women's side. Footage you won't see anywhere else. If you have a question, comment, or show topic suggestion for myself or Roger, you can email us at EnduranceHour@gmail.com or call us and leave a voice message. The number is 720-295-9890. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The keyword is Endurance Hour. And you're welcome to follow me personally. My Twitter handle is IamDaveErickson. And finally, please subscribe to the podcast via iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio, which is a free app for your smartphone. Thank you so much for listening to the Endurance Hour podcast. Coming up, some racing news and notes. Well, before we get to some racing news and notes about some Ironman 70.3 and Ironman races over the weekend, I want to introduce Bo Parrish from Nashville, Tennessee. I think you'll like the way he talks because a lot of people do. A bit of a southern accent, huh, Bo?
I think bit is an understatement.
Hey, before we get to some of your experience at Lake Stevens this weekend, what's your first impression of the inland, of the Pacific Northwest?
Well, Dave, I got to say, I think my hands are still purple. A shock in the form of cold and wet, the way I started the day, the way I ended the day, amidst a triple-digit heat summer in Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. This was certainly a shock to the system.
What stands out about the Pacific Northwest and Seattle and this part of the country that you don't experience or see where you're from?
It's green and it's wet.
That's why we have it so green here, because it is so wet.
I have no problem believing that.
Yeah. And driving through Seattle, we got a little bit lost when I picked you up at the airport a couple days ago.
Yeah, we did, but it was just a good excuse to do some more sightseeing.
Yeah.
Amidst a massive city, from what it looked, and actually got a chance to pay the Blue 70 rep a nice visit and was greeted with a couple new wetsuits, which is always a positive. Really, really enjoyed that.
What are you swimming in?
We, thanks to Ryan, are now swimming in Blue 70 Helix suits, which you and I tried out on Saturday morning. The sleeves were a little tight, but loosened up very nicely.
And we'll get to your swim, but did you enjoy your experience? Because we went the day before, was a Saturday, and tested out Lake Stevens.
Well, the lake at first feel was freezing, and actually got laughed at by you and a couple other native Washingtonians on the deck who said, this water's 70 degrees. It is balmy.
Well, it is. That's warm.
Well, not when you're swimming in 85 to 90 degree pools.
That's true. That's true. So far, so good on your trip over here to the Northwest?
It is outstanding. I cannot wait to come back. And I will bring my wool socks and my warm winter mittens.
Well, you were wearing those red Timex running gloves today.
Yeah, and they were soaked as well. So not sure how much those helped, but maybe it was more psychological.
Maybe so. Well, Bo, thank you so much for being part of the show. Bo's going to be talking with me with this racing news and notes, and we'll hear from him on his race report and more on the experience here in Lake Stephen. So, Bo, first of all, Ironman Switzerland. We had Ronnie Schnelnick won the race this weekend, 8:17:13. On the women's side, and I'm gonna say her name wrong, but Erica Chomer. It's spelled C-S-O-M-O-R. And I think it's Chomer, not quite sure, but she won the women's race in 9:20. Switzerland's got to be an amazing place to do a race, and Ronnie is a multiple Ironman champion, and not a bad race for him. He won by 14 minutes or so over second place, and Erica had a 5-minute victory for her. Also this weekend was Ironman 70.3 Vineman, and the winner of that race was Olympian Greg Bennett. He just beat out Joe Gambles, Paul Matthews, Christian Kemp, and Terenzo, who raced just last weekend at Rev 3. On the women's side, Meredith Kessler. She won that race in 4:10:15 over Melissa Rollison. Now I was telling you about Melissa. She won 70.3 Worlds last year. She has a smoking run. Have you seen her race at all?
Actually, I have. Just the very little bit that I've seen, she is definitely impressive.
Followed by Amy Marsh in third place. Heather Jackson was in fourth place at Vineman, and then rounding out the top five was Leanda Cave. All very accomplished triathletes, and Meredith is on an amazing roll this year. So Greg Bennett and Meredith Kessler winning 70.3 Vineman. That was on Sunday. So Racine, this is an interesting race for, at least for our perspective, both Bo and mine, because Craig Alexander was in this race, and he's already punched his ticket to Kona. But the thing is, he was nowhere in the top five. The winner of Racine this weekend was Marco Albert, who won the race just under 4 hours, 3:59:23. His closest competitor was Paul Ambrose in 4:02:04. On the women's side was Jessica Jacobs. She won the race in 4:26:04, followed by Dee Dee Griesbauer, who was behind her at 4:32:06. Christy Sim, Kristen Andrews, and our fellow Timex multi-sport team member, Jackie Arndt.
Jackie definitely had a strong top five finish there. It was great to see her up the...
Yeah, she was only down by, 7 minutes off Jessica Jacobs, so a good showing for her. Jackie hasn't raced much this year. Yeah. I think she was planning to do some Ironmans, but has not done many.
So great for her to be in the top five.
So the thing about Craig Alexander, he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, ninth place for the men. He was 16 minutes off the lead today. And what we think it is, at least Bo and I, think it's the run. He had a 1:30 run today.
1:30, that is
That's not fast
unbelievable.
For Craig. Yeah, you ran a 1:29 today.
Yeah, the day that I beat Craig Alexander on a run split is the day that I'm dreaming. But I don't know. I guess crazier things in the world have happened.
It's interesting because Crowley had an amazing swim. He was probably in the first or second group. He swam a 24:10. The winner, Marco Albert, swam a 23:04. So he was just a minute behind him, but that 1:30 run split. So there's probably more to that story than initially that we are aware of, but those are some race results from Ironman 70.3 Racine. Before we get to Ironman 70.3 Lake Placid, not Lake Placid, I keep on saying thinking that, Lake Stevens, I want to tell you about this Xterra race over the weekend in which Conrad Stoltz won and Danielle Kabush of Calgary won those races. This is the Xterra Mountain Championship at Beaver Creek, Colorado. The reason I'm mentioning this partly is because Conrad Stoltz, has won his 47th championship.
Wow.
Unprecedented Xterra all-time championship total of 47 races. This guy's 38 years old. He continues to do well. He's a multiple Xterra world champion, I think four or five times over, and he won again. Now, the thing about this, do you do much mountain biking, Bo?
I have done one mountain bike race, and I spent more time on the ground than I did on my bike.
Technical?
Very.
Technical. So this the distance of this race there in Beaver Creek, Colorado, was a 0.7-mile swim, followed by a 14.85-mile mountain bike, and then just a 5.8-mile trail run. So Conrad Stoltz won that race in 2:07:05, followed by Josiah Middow. And then Ben Hoffman, Ironman champion, Ironman 70.3 champion as well. Ben Hoffman taking on his first major Xterra race, and he finished in the top three on the podium. So good for him. Now, Will Kelsey, another Timex multi-sport athlete, he rounded out the 10th place for the pros at that race in Colorado. He's based in Boulder. On the women's side, Danielle Kabush out of Canada, 2:29:35. Followed by Sarah Tarkington, Susie Snyder, Renata Boucher, and then Melanie McQuaid. She is a three-time Xterra World Champion, rounding out the top five for that one. So Lake Stevens, Bo, what a day it was for us and for everyone who is participating. Just under 1,200 athletes. I think it may have been just under 1,100 with the final results of how many people. There was 1,200 registered, but you know, some people didn't show up and some people didn't finish, but kind of a rainy day.
Absolutely. Even on the drive over, it started misting, and I'd asked Dave, is this characteristic of local weather? And he said, well, according to the 30% chance of rain, we're getting that 30% right here already, yeah, before the sun comes up.
But the weather was still, the water was still very comfortable. It was there in the low 70s, so for me it was more than comfortable for Bo, a little bit cold. But before we get to our actual race reports, Bo's and mine, professional triathlete Chris Lee trailed race favorite Timothy O'Donnell for nearly 70 miles of the race on Sunday before he ended up passing Tim O'Donnell with less than a quarter of a mile to go. So he wins the 7th annual Ironman 70.3 Lake Stevens race. His margin of victory over O'Donnell, 20 seconds. Trevor Wertel rounds out the podium. He was 40 seconds back on O'Donnell. And then for the women, it was Miranda Carfrae, who we saw at Endurance Sports Northwest on Friday after I picked up Bo from the airport. She basically dominated the women's field. She wasn't first out of the water, but she ended up winning with a 12-minute margin of victory over second-place finisher Tennille Hoogland. And Mackenzie Madison out of Oregon was third for the women. So here's a quick here's a quick post-race interview with both Chris and Tim O'Donnell at the finish line. Take a listen.
Chris Lee, timing is everything today, huh?
Well, that was a big chase. I had a lot of motivation. My home state here's got cancer, so I passed her twice, and that was enough motivation for me.
Well, you know, we can see from on lap one, you knew you were cutting some time in the out and back here along the lakefront. You must have gotten some sense that you were making a pace on the leader.
Yeah, it's a great thing with this course is you do get that feedback, and it was pretty constant. I think I was 3:10 down coming off the bike, 2 minutes after that the first lap, and I knew T.O. had done an Ironman not long ago, and I'm thinking if I got a minute 10 out of him, there's every chance I can get 2 minutes, but he held on so tight. And what's amazing is you get to about a mile and a half to go and you come up that hill, and generally, like, you can back off and enjoy that last mile and a half, but not today. Had Wertel behind me. I think I ran about 40 seconds into him on that first lap, and then he ran it back into me on the second, so there was no relaxing at all.
A win here at Lake Stevens, very sweet. What thoughts, just what simple thoughts come to your mind in a win today?
Oh God, I mean, used to really love this distance, and I think it's been about 3 years since I won a 70.3, so a few injuries and crashes, and it's great to be back and racing someone like T.O. and getting him at the end. It's a huge confidence booster for me, and I needed the points to get to Vegas and got to race a few more races. So, as I said, 3 years since my last win, so pretty proud of that one.
Looks like you still remember how to do it. 3 years is not that long. Well done, Chris Lee, our winner today. Nicely done. Tim O'Donnell, a tough day. You knew you were hunted out there. What thoughts were going through your mind? The Ironman legs getting you a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I felt pretty comfortable the first lap, but the wheels just started to fall off on that second lap. My hat's off to Chris. He's an unbelievable athlete. And I think he's 40 or 40 plus, maybe, and he's still rocking.
Not yet.
Close, but it's really impressive. I mean, he's so talented. Hats off to him.
Quality race today for Tim O'Donnell. Congratulations, Tim. Good news, of course, you saw Rennie out there looking the class of the field. So congratulations to all of our athletes so far, Trevor Wortel as well.
So congratulations to Chris Lee and Timothy O'Donnell, as well as Trevor Wortel. The top five for the men after Trevor was Carl Bordine and Chris Bagg for the top five men. Now, Miranda Carfrae, she exited the water with another Timex professional, one of our teammates, just so happens to be, Christine Anderson. They both finished the swim in about 27 minutes, just under 27 minutes. Again, not the fastest swim for either one of the girls, but Rennie would make up all that time on the bike and the run. She tore it up on the run, a 1:19 run split for Rennie today. So here is Rennie's finish line interview today after Ironman 70.3 Lake Stevens.
All right, Miranda Carfrae, first off the bike out onto the run course. How'd it go for you?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough course. That bike was relentless. Those hills were just never ending, and it was a little bit sketchy out there, so I was driving Miss Daisy around every corner to make sure I didn't have any accidents. But it's foreign ground for me to get off the bike first, so that was quite a pleasure. But I wanted to have a really hard run today, so I just tried to put together a really good run for it, and I'm really happy with the result.
Yeah, I was going to say, but your usual MO is to run into first, coming out off first. On that second lap, I saw you heading out of the second lap, and when you went by one of the age groupers, they kind of looked at you in an odd way. Did you get some unusual reactions?
That's kind of standard, I guess. I get a lot of great cheers, mostly out there. A lot of the competitors spare a second to cheer me on, and I really appreciate that. So. Triathlons like that, everybody's super positive and we're all in this together, so that's why I love the sport.
Well, I don't think you've raced here in Lake Stevens, have you? So a quick sort of thought about the whole scene, the course, the people.
You know, this is a beautiful part of America. My first time in this area was in Coeur d'Alene a couple of weeks ago to watch Tim race, and yeah, I just think it's beautiful out here, and it makes for good racing as well with tough courses, and the lake was beautiful to swim in, and the people have been great as well, so all around a good trip.
I would say so, especially at the top of the podium. We'll see you at 3:30. Ladies and gentlemen, Miranda Carfrae, your winner today.
So recapping the top five women, Miranda Carfrae in first place, 4:26.38, followed by Tennille Hoogland. She was there at 4:38.28, so a good 12, 13 minutes back. And then Madison McKenzie, Uli Brome, and Jillian Clayton to round out the top five. So, Bo, your experience today, let's talk about some of your results as well as mine, if we like. It was a good swim for you today. I mean, you had that new wetsuit on.
I did. I felt as good as I've ever felt for a 1.2-mile swim throughout the entire race. The course was very well marked thanks to the underwater tow line that was keeping the buoys together. It was just a very fast out, short rounding the corner and back, and I think I finished in around 29 minutes, so I was very happy with that time. And ironically enough, the warmest I was all day was
in the water,
out of the water, running to my bike.
Was it very crowded in your swim wave?
Yes, it was. It was. Unfortunately, I was able to make it to the inner line right on the buoys fairly quickly. I started a little bit faster than I normally like to start, but I was able to find a groove and work into a motion pretty quick.
So what's your strategy when you begin a open water swim? And this one happened to be a deep water swim start.
Well, so I am not the fastest of swimmers, and as such, have found myself in the middle of the crowd, and mistakenly enough, not really understanding how quickly the race gets off. So in the past, I've found myself gravitating towards the outside and then swimming in and simply following feet as best as I can. But today I was a little bit more aggressive. I had a good short warm up and I felt good. So I started in the middle on the second row and just swam as fast as I could to get out to the inside lane on the buoy and was able to do that. So I was happy with my strategy.
Generally speaking, do you swim straight in open water or do you do a lot of sighting?
Well, sighting for me has been difficult in the past, but fortunately today, Dave, as we were discussing, the buoys were on our left.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be a dominant left side breather.
Okay, okay.
So it worked.
Any problem getting out of the water? Because there was a little bit of a false flat, and then it drops, and then it comes back flat again.
You know, I swam until my arms could no longer extend out below me, so I did a push-up and was out.
Very good. And then, so let's talk about your transition, your swim-to-bike transition.
So my T1 was very disappointing, and you and I were talking about driving over the clothing that I was going to wear on the bike, and I talked about wearing a long sleeve jersey, and I got to be honest, I was so warm coming out of the water that I decided to go without, and as such forgot that I did not have my singlet on underneath my wetsuit.
Oh yeah.
So I had to pull that on, and of course it was proving more difficult to get down over my back than originally, and then also tried to put some gloves on, which didn't work out beyond mile 10 of the bike, and managed to break my sunglasses as well. So
oof.
I had quite an interesting transition. One, I think to the tune of 3.5 minutes. Absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, that's what Roger will say. That's where your free time consists of. It's in transition. That's where you can make up the time. It's just free time. It all depends on how fast you go. As far as my swim, we'll break it up by swim,
yeah,
bike, and run. My swim was amazing, and I was so happy that there was that line down, the buoy line underneath the water, because I was on that the entire time. I started on the far left side, so I was basically right there on the first buoy. I don't like to start too far on the right because I don't want to have to swim across. I'm not a strong swimmer. But in this case, I felt really good. I switched over to that Helix Blue 70 suit, and it was super comfortable. It's the right size for me. It was a medium large, and my shoulders felt comfortable. It was a little bit short on the legs, which is good because I wanted to bring it up as much as possible and keep the core of my body buoyant. So going out, I had a nice, good rhythm. The water was comfortable. And I didn't have to worry about looking up. I have a terrible time going left and right. My fastest swim before today was probably 37.03 or something real low 37s. So I'm not really strong when it comes to the half Ironman distance swim, 1.2 miles. So today I had a great swim. I was out of the water in 33.21, which I was just excited because once I turned that last buoy, I looked at my watch and going, okay, I think it was at 18 minutes when I turned on the last buoy. So that was even better than I was going to be better than a 36 at that point, because straight out, a little bit of a short left, and then straight back. So I was like, oh, this is good. I'm doing fine.
He found his fins, ladies and gentlemen.
I found my fins and had no one really bothering me, no bumping. People were very respectful, and they found their line, and so did I. And I felt strong. I started kicking a little bit more, got out of the water, looked at my watch. All right. I was on target, so that felt good. And I got to transition. I put on an extra cycling jersey on top of my outfit. I had my singlet on underneath, but I put a cycling jersey on the outside just because I knew it was going to be a little bit colder. I didn't put any gloves on or arm warmers. Thought, okay, I can handle it. It feels comfortable out here. But what I forgot was my spare tire kit. So I didn't realize, I think I was riding up the first couple miles of the hill, leaving transition, and I felt very light. Usually I wear a little fanny pack. I know it's not a good idea. You can probably put something on your back of your bike, but
you can pull it off the...
I have a fanny pack that I put on that I just wrap around the back side, and that's where I keep my couple CO2 cartridges, tube, and all that other stuff. And it's like, huh. I turned my race number around and realized, ooh, I don't have my spare tire kit. I better not flat because I'm feeling real good right now. And luckily I didn't. My
He's a riverboat gambler, ladies and gentlemen.
T1 time was 149. I could have been a little bit faster, but I hesitated. I was looking to try to decide, do I need to bring more? Do I need to bring, you know, my bike jersey got a little stuck behind my armpit and my arm because it was a little wet. Other than that, I felt real good. Kind of actually sprinted out of T1 and got my bike, and I was happy. And let's talk about this bike course, because going into it, we knew, since we drove the course on Saturday, that it was going to be technical. We knew there were some sharp turns. But what I think made this course more difficult today is one thing, and that was the rain. It did not stop raining or misting or showering at all today.
Gosh, Dave, there were parts where I literally feared for my life. Mm-hmm. I felt my brakes not working, and I would say quite honestly that there were times where I was going faster uphill than I was downhill. It was that scary.
Mm-hmm. Were the hills as bad as advertised, or as challenging as advertised?
Well, I think it was either constantly climbing or constantly descending. I felt very little flat in there, and I happen to like climbing, and I felt good in those particular areas of the course. But again, the descent, everyone that I passed going uphill would fly right by me, and I would just ask myself, how in the world are they doing that? They must not value their life.
I don't know if it was, you know, in about mile 20, mile 25 or so, I saw one guy. I just approached him after he fell, because he took a corner. He didn't take the corner correctly. He must have been going too fast, because that was a corner I started pulling up, sitting up on top of my bars and just tapping the brakes a little bit to slow down. And I saw him there just holding his shoulder. It looked pretty bad, and I felt bad for him. And it just reminded me that it's not worth it to take some of these corners faster than necessary. I'll slow down, you know, 5 miles per hour so I can make the race.
No question. And even at the extent of taking the descent quickly in order to pedal up the corresponding hill with just the rollers, that, hey, if I'm not going to make it down this hill in one piece, then what's the point of going as fast as I possibly can if I won't be up as I'm going up the other side of the hill.
Big thank you to the volunteers out there, and the local law enforcement did a great job at the tight corners, reminding us to slow down and keeping us online. So that was great today. Also, I thought the hills, there were many hills for those of you who want to do this course next year. There were many hills that you could time it, and if you had the right gears, you could use the down to work your way over the next hill.
Yeah, but Dave, how about that straight 1 mile incline? How about that one?
Yeah, you know, Roger is an advisor to me when it comes to coaching. He doesn't coach me necessarily, but it's more of advice. And he was telling me, he was giving me some wattage averages to try to maintain and not exceed a certain number. And I exceeded those numbers on the hills, and I thought, I just burned too many matches in my matchbook. I'm going to pay for this later.
For sure.
But luckily, I actually averaged a higher wattage than I had planned to, and I did go well above what he recommended, and I was just feeling good. And I decided to climb a lot of those climbs, even that one you're talking about, the mile-long ascent. I got out of my saddle a few times and just kind of stretched my back out, stretched my legs out, and I think it paid dividends in the end.
That is the great thing about this course, is that our body was constantly guessing.
Yeah.
No room to get into a rut with that bike course.
Mm-hmm. So my opinion, if it was drier, this wasn't as difficult as I expected the bike course to be, even though I knew Keats McGonigal, he's the race director of this event here in Lake Stevens, was showing us on the race map that mile 38 to mile 45 or so was where you really going to do some climbing. And I planned on it mentally that was going to be difficult. And I think by doing that, I had a better ride.
Sure, sure. But I do think that the hairpin turn at mile 38, riding straight into a wall. Matter of fact, it was so much built up, as there was actually a sign on the road that said, gear down now or you will drop your chain.
Yeah.
So that was legitimate.
Yeah. And that wasn't as long of a ascent that I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't, but my back tire kept sliding out, and I think you said it was due to the oil on the ground as well as just the wetness, but
yeah.
I had never experienced that before.
Yeah.
My back wheel was literally spinning out, not going anywhere, gaining any traction.
Yeah, when you crank like that going up steep hills when the road is a little bit greasier, a little bit newly wet, that's going to be a problem. So what was your bike time today, and how does that compare to what your normal half Ironman distance bike rides are?
Well, Dave, just with the overall time, I was a little disappointed. It was 2:39:48, which was a pace of 21.03. Granted, there were a ton of hills and elevation changes, but 2 weeks ago at Buffalo Springs, my bike split was 2:19.
Wow.
So it was about 20 minutes slower, and I think that's what hurt me overall, particularly after I had such a good swim.
And let's be honest, you were hoping and shooting for, and you still are shooting for, a 70.3 world slot.
I am. I've got two more chances, okay. Boulder and Steelhead.
Okay. So not the best bike time for Bo today. I ended up doing a 2:52:23. I'm very happy with that. I averaged about 19.5 miles per hour. What I'm happiest about, and this is our personal race report, I started off overall at 2:73 after the swim, and made up nearly 90 places I moved up. I passed a lot of people, had a good bike ride. I'm very happy with it. I exceeded my expectations, and I had a good ride. So I'm happy with that. I didn't know what to expect. Haven't been training enough.
Daredevil Dave.
Daredevil
Dave.
Did
it on the bike.
Well, let's talk about a run now. You had a pretty good run, I would think.
I did. I was very pleased with my run, although the first loop, my feet were completely frozen and didn't feel any impact, which I guess was good for the old plantar fasciitis, which tends to be plaguing me for the last 2 years, and to my Newton running shoes, where the lugs are located right in the perfect position to catch that 4-foot strike, where I have learned to strike over the course of the last year. So, now, good run.
This bike entrance, the bike in, is a little bit different because you kind of come in around where the swim exit is.
I was surprised at the bike in.
The location of it.
I definitely was.
Okay, so people who are listening now, you come out of the swim and you exit underneath the big balloon banner, whatever that may be, where you go into transition. Well, that's the same area where you come in off the bike. There was a side road that you enter to do that. So you had to really know where your bike rack was and have a plan, which is always a good advice for a newbie in a triathlon. But when the bike racks are positioned more vertical versus horizontal, they're not straight rows. It's kind of harder to make your way through this maze.
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So surprise there doesn't necessarily make for easy transitions, but Dave, I will say my T2 was far superior to T1. I think I was ready to start running so I could warm up.
Yeah. So what was your T2 time?
My T2 time was a minute and a half. So
okay.
Overall, pretty disappointing with 5 total minutes of transition, but I finished the run in 1:29:50, so I was happy with that. And actually did finish somewhat warm, although 10 minutes later I was cold again.
What is your philosophy on negative splits at a half Ironman race?
Well, it's always the goal.
Yeah.
And today I was able to do just that. My pace on the first loop was 6:58. My pace on the second loop was 6:44.
Nice
so
work.
It was reassuring to be able to finish with a negative split.
Now, I saw you on, well, just one of the loops because you started before me and you're much faster than I am. So I saw you. So you were feeling good and using this. For people who don't know about this run course, it's a figure eight.
It is.
For the most part. And each figure has an up and a down.
It certainly does. But with the up comes the down. And that's just always something to keep in mind psychologically. But I will say the first 2 miles were pretty much uphill, particularly on the backside.
Yeah.
The false flat between mile 2 and 3, which made it nice on the mile 4 and 5 on the downhill coast.
Yeah. Yeah, my feet, I think my right foot warmed up first, and my left foot took about 5 or 6 miles into it before my left foot started getting back to normal. And I was using those uphills, trying to keep it steady, and then a little bit of a stride coming down, at least that first loop, that first figure eight. And the second loop is when I was telling you in the car earlier today, is like, that's when I was going to let my legs get wrecked, because I knew I wanted to finish with nothing left. And I did. This is one of those races. I've told friends before this, that I want to finish with nothing left. I want to finish to the point where I'm either, you know, cramping or I get sick, because that means I left it all on the course.
And ladies and gentlemen, I quote Dave after the race, I just started to cramp as soon as I crossed the finish line.
Yeah, once I hit that carpet, Dave. I hit that carpet, I started feeling a hamstring and a calf. And not that I was feeling like Crowley, but you know, last year in Kona, he cramped in that last mile or so and then jumped over the finish line and then fell down immediately with a hamstring cramp. And I was thinking, yes, I've got to the point where I had left it all out. I timed it. I had a negative split too, which I'm very happy and proud of. I had an 8:18 first lap and an 8:05 second lap.
And let me add to that a personal record, which I was very proud to be able to witness, Dave. Congratulations on your PR in Lake Stevens.
Thank you very much. I hit a 5:17:03, which this is my 13th career half Ironman, and I'm very happy with it and surprised. So it was a good day. Up next for you, you just said you have a couple more 70.3s that you're hoping to use to qualify for?
Yes, sir. I think we're going to see each other again in Boulder.
That's right. Not too far away.
And a little anxious to see how the elevation is going to affect me, but it is what it is. It's 2 weeks away.
And is it really 2 weeks? No.
3 weeks. 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, it's like the 1st of August.
And then beyond that, we'll go up to the beautiful Benton Harbor and try out Steelhead.
Now, for those who have done Boulder or who haven't done Boulder, I guess more likely the people who have not done Boulder, because of it's the higher elevation, the bike is usually a little bit faster because you have less air to go through, but also because you're up there with less air, that means the runs tends to be a little bit more difficult because you have less air to get in your lungs.
Cotton in the lungs, huh?
Yeah.
How's that swim though, Dave?
I think it was pretty warm last year.
Yeah.
And I believe it may have been into the sun.
Oh, tough for sighting.
A little bit tough for sighting. But it's a nice venue. It's out in the Boulder Reservation, the res, as they call, reservoir. I'm sorry, not reservation. Boulder Reservoir, and it's a nice bike course. It's two loops, one loop swim, but two loop bike, and it's also a two loop run around a gravelly, dirt like road path around the reservoir. And you do that two times. It does come back on some pavement, but it's a park there, and I'd say it's somewhat spectator friendly because unless you head out on the run course, you're not going to see someone until they come back around again. But I love it. It's a beautiful place. I love Boulder. Period. I mean, the scenery is amazing. You look off in the distance and you see the mountains. You know where you are.
And to make it even better, we've got several of our teammates that call Boulder home.
Yeah. Many of them. Well, any final thoughts of your time here in Lake Stevens?
Dave, it has been a true joy to spend the last 3 days with you, getting to see the other side of Ironman reporting and actually getting to watch you race as well. Thanks for having me on. Anytime you need a Southern hick to add a little bit of redneck charm, I'm happy to come on and provide that to you, my friend.
Well, Bo is from Nashville, Tennessee. He brings some Southern charm and flavor to the Northwest, and we're glad to have him. Thank you so much for being on the show and providing your expertise and insight to the race. And I know you had a chance to hang out with, hang out and talk with Rennie and Tim a couple days ago. That was kind of special.
I did. Rennie and I were comparing Southern accents. I think she's a little further south than I am, but she still got a kick out of mine.
All right, Bo Parrish from Nashville, Tennessee, also a member of the Timex Multisport team, 2 years running, and you can look for him, and we'll probably do another podcast interview or something in Boulder in just about 2-3 weeks.
Sounds great.
Before we wrap up the Endurance Hour Podcast, episode 32, our latest giveaway prize is based on a trivia question. During our previous podcast, episode 31, we featured an extensive Q&A session with Miranda Carfrey and Timothy O'Donnell at the Endurance Sports Northwest shop, which is just north of Seattle. And an Endurance Hour listener, Grant Harrington, actually hosted that event. It was during the introductions that Grant read off a question that was either emailed or left on Facebook. The question is for this prize, whose question did he read first? Now, let's be clear, when you listen to the episode, Grant's wife, Jennifer, asked the first question, but we want to know whose question did Grant first read off. Leave your guess on the Endurance Hour Facebook page. We'll draw a name from the correct answers, and the winner will receive an Endurance Sports Northwest running hat signed by both Rennie and Tim. So, whose question did Grant first read off? Leave your answer on the Endurance Hour Facebook page, and we'll have that winner announced in the coming weeks. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Endurance Hour Podcast. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or show topic suggestions for myself or Roger, you can email us at endurancehour@gmail.com. Call us at 720-295-9890 for our Google voicemail. Love to hear your feedback and feature you on the program. For Roger Thompson, Bo Parrish, I'm Dave Erickson. Have a great week of training or racing. We'll see you back here next week.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
look up, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.